Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to In Real Life with Evan Halperin. There is a new contender for Kamala Harris's vice president spot. And this is Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota. Recently, it was revealed to the media that Kamala has picked her finalists, and that is number one, Tim Walz of Minnesota. And number two, Josh Shapiro, governor of Pennsylvania. And Kamala is expected to tell the people who she is choosing either later today, August 5th, Monday, or tomorrow, August 6th, which would be Tuesday. Tim Walz is kind of a come-out-of-nowhere person. He was technically one of the finalists, but there was very little speculation about him doing well. She kind of crossed out recently Mark Kelly of Arizona, Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear, who also was not supposed to do or not be in real contention, but he was just a name that was thrown around, and Illinois Governor, who is the same as Beshear and up until very recently Walz, who was J.B. Pritzker. The guy I thought had probably the best chance was Mayor Pete Buttigieg, and the fact that he is not probably means that he will continue to be in the cabinet. He will probably retain the same role if she wins, so if you book any flights, get ready for those to be canceled over the next 4 years. There is no reason, and there has been no indication, that the stock market having a little mini crash will have an impact on the timing. There's no reason why it would delay, but it's possible, however improbable. But I want to get into a little bit about Tim Walz, what he does, what he has done to Minnesota as the governor. And then there was a scandal recently with Josh Shapiro that I want to get into, actually to defend Josh Shapiro on his previous actions, but not on his current actions. So that's a little bit interesting. We'll get into that in a minute. Before we do that, Tim Walz, he was elected governor in 2018. And has been governor consecutively ever since. As soon as he was elected, Minnesota's crime rates began climbing. And in 2024, today, the violent crime in Minneapolis remains 29% above what it was when he was first elected. And for the first time in decades, the Minnesota crime rate is above the U.S. crime rate that happened in 2020 and has stayed true for these last 2 years. On top of that, handling COVID, Walz shut down schools, churches, businesses. Basically, it was the same as every other state that had a Democrat leader. And just like every other state that had a Democrat leader, the failed policies of Tim Walz resulted in one of the highest percentages of deaths in the country due to COVID. On top of that, in regards to education, during Walz's time as governor, the Minnesota test scores on a national level are the lowest that they have been in 30 years. Not very good. In terms of money, the state of Minnesota, for the first time, has a lower annual per capita GDP than the country as a whole on average. That happened in Q3 of 2023. For the first time, they were in a deficit of increase, meaning that technically the GDP did go up, but it's going up at a nominally smaller rate than the entire country is, leading for the entire country to now be and to now have a higher annual per capita GDP than Minnesota. There's really not much good that you can find that Tim Walz has done for Minnesota, which is why people are leaving. People that have to pay taxes, at least, are leaving. You see, there's the net immigration of individuals to and from Minnesota by how much they pay, by the income of the primary taxpayer. Everybody that pays taxes, so if you make $25,000 or more a year, the net migration is at a negative, meaning people are leaving more so than people are coming. He's just a failure as a leader, which really is to be fairly expected. What was not to be expected is that this guy, Governor Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania, as you can tell by his last name, he's Jewish, he has been called on to apologize for his anti-Palestinian remarks. And he did apologize. What were those remarks, you ask? Well, in 1993, when Josh Shapiro was in college, he wrote an opinion article. And in this opinion article, he stated among things that things among so were peace will never come to the Middle East, and that Palestinians are unable to create their own state because they are too battle-minded. So he wrote an exact quote, using history as precedent, peace between Arabs and Israelis is virtually impossible and will never come. Palestinians will not coexist peacefully. They do not have the capabilities to establish their own homeland and make it successful even with the aid of Israel and the United States. They are too battle-minded to be able to establish a peaceful homeland of their own. This is absolutely true. He even used history as a precedent. And that is as close as you can get to using a fact on this subject. Is it possible that if Jews were eradicated from the world, that suddenly the Muslims would be a peaceful people, a peaceful race? It's possible, but history has shown us it's not going to happen. But Josh Shapiro was called on because of these remarks, these completely innocent, unoffensive, unharmful remarks. He was called on to apologize, mainly by far left, well, only by far left groups, mainly by Muslim, Palestinian, and Arab, I guess you could call them leaders, maybe. And so, obviously, that's exactly what he did, is he apologized, because this is what the left does, right? If you are called on to apologize and you have done nothing wrong, you don't apologize. You don't apologize if you have done nothing wrong. If you've done something wrong, then obviously you want to apologize and make right whatever your wrongdoings have been. However, Josh Shapiro did nothing wrong. First of all, it was an opinion article. And while there are such things as bad opinions, this is not one of them. This was not an offensive opinion. And this was not a wrong opinion. But nonetheless, he went up and he apologized, and his excuse on his pro-Israel views in when he was in college was that he was 20. That was the best excuse he could give, because I'm sure he still believes what he said, because what he said is correct. And even though his party disagrees with him, he needs to fall in line, and he needs to disavow his own true, actual beliefs. This is both one of the strengths and the weaknesses of the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party, you fall in line, you believe what others tell you to believe, and that's a weakness. There's no diversity of thought. And that's why most of their ideas are pretty horrible. It's because they don't get a chance to test them out in the real world because everybody just agrees with them or they're labeled as racist, sexist, one of the ists. That's a weakness in the actual world. However, in politics, that's a strength. This is why you see Republicans voting against Republicans much, much, much more often than you see Democrats voting against Democrats. The unity of the party is absolutely a strength, and while it's leading to the dismantling of the fabric of the country, it is the reason why Democrats have been able to retain what power they have. So now you understand, I would 100% defend Josh Shapiro in his right to say what he said before, and even though I agree with it, it wouldn't really matter. If a Muslim said the same thing about Jews, I would 100% defend their right to say it, and I would not want an apology. Why? Because it's their opinion. Maybe their opinion's incorrect. Certainly I'm not going to allow myself to be offended by their incorrect opinion, because that's dumb. And I try not to be a dumb person. So out of the two finalists, you have Josh Shapiro, you have Tim Walz. I still probably think Josh Shapiro, if I was a Democrat, would be my pick, would be the guy that I want, because he has been labeled as a moderate, even though he's really not. For a politician, he's more moderate than Kamala, I guess. He's more moderate than Bernie Sanders. And he is the guy that I would want over Tim Walz, just for the small chance that someone in Pennsylvania goes, oh, he's from my state, let me vote for Kamala. Very rarely does that happen. The vice president has been shown to have almost no impact on the election. But it's possible, and really all of my candidates are such horrible choices if I'm a Democrat. I kind of just have to choose with who I think will win. It's my take on it. You may disagree. I'd be interested to hear your view. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in, and have a wonderful rest of your day.